All right. Happy Monday, everybody. Ha ha ha. It's July 11th, 2016, and this is Jessica Stewart, and I'm here with the October 2015 cohort. This is Coach the Coach 4. This is our final class in Coach the Coach, and this is Group C for cool, maybe? I clearly didn't plan that, so I was like, gosh, is there a better word that I couldn't? And cool definitely applies, unless it's really hot where you are, in which case it wouldn't. So, oh, gosh. So I just came back from a week of vacation, so I'm feeling loose and relaxed and excited to be here with you. So I wanted to do our usual check-in just so that we can get all everybody's voice in the room. I see a couple more folks have joined. Hello, Katrina. Welcome. So I'm just going to go through and do our one word or one sound check-in for how you're doing this lovely Monday. And I am going to start with Lisa. Lisa, how are you? One word or sound. How are you right now?
Two words filled up.
Totally works. And then Dee Dee.
Hello. Open.
Okay. Like a flower.
Yeah.
And Sarah.
A little anxious.
Okay. And then Hope.
Content.
Okay. And then Katrina. Oh, Joanna, sorry, excuse me.
My word is anxious.
Anxious?
Yeah.
With the pounding as well? Perfect. I got it.
Yeah. Oh, you heard that. Oh my.
Okay. Well, as long as it's accurate, we can have space for it. And then Katrina.
I'm searching.
Searching. And I'm assuming you don't mean on the Google.
No. All
right.
That was funny.
Or
the Google.
The Google, yes. Or as my friend called it, Goo-Goo. Or the goose. And my husband's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't say that. I'm like, but I think it's funny. Oh, well. So my word is I'm chill. I'm feeling chill, cool, you know, laid back. So one thing I did want to say, too, is I've seen a couple of, and it's probably not in this forum, but in a couple of other forums from folks that when we do coach the coach, sometimes as master coaches, we will interrupt and we will finish up a session for someone. And I just wanted to let you know if that in any way makes you, if I've done that and it's made you feel like I've stepped on you or disempowered you in any way, I just want to make sure that you know that you can come back to me with that feedback. You can email me at jstewart@marthabeck.com. I don't do it to be unkind. I really want to support and help give a demonstration. And sometimes it's a dance that we do when we do these kinds of coach-the-coach kind of facilitation. And so if that's occurred to you or if you felt that, I wanted to just be sure to open the conversation and let you know that if I've hurt your feelings in any way, it's certainly not intentional. And it wasn't directed at me specifically. There were a few different coaches that received that feedback. And it seemed to be a little bit of a trend. And I thought, well, I should probably just address it in case it is. I do encourage you, if we're in a session today and you feel like you'd like to jump back in and grab a session if I'm maybe talking too much, which certainly happens, please feel free to be like, okay, I'm ready, I can do it, a.k.a. shut the hell up. So I just wanted to offer that invitation because I know sometimes because we're not face-to-face, it's really hard to pick up clues and facial expressions, micro expressions. And so, you know, I'm here to support you ultimately, and you get to tell me what that looks like. I also wanted to apologize because last time we were together, we did end up only coaching one person and only having one coach. And I think it was actually a great session because we were able to really deconstruct the conversation. But I also recognize that that can sometimes feel a little tedious for some people. So today my hope is that we get two clients, two coaches, and Hope has offered to be our client. I do need coaches, and I'm wondering, those that are feeling anxious, is it because you're on Coach the Coach, or is it for other things that we can support you in? Would either of you like to coach, or what? You don't have to answer, but both Joanna and Sarah, you're both feeling a little bit of anxiety. So is that related to Coach the Coach? May I ask? Be so bold as to ask.
Sure. I don't think it's mostly not related to Coach. This is Sarah. It is not related to Coach the Coach, but a piece of it probably was I was rushing to get on the call and trying to get myself all ready. So that's a little bit of anxiety, but most of it's about something else. But I would still be happy to coach.
Great. Okay, perfect. And then, Joanna, how are you doing today? Is there anything we can support you in? Would you like to be a client today or a coach?
My anxiousness. My anxiousness is not related to class at all.
Okay.
So I have no problem being the client or just listening for the day.
Okay, great. I just want to, again, you know, it's because I can't see you. I can't really get the full breadth of what's going on in your life. So I want to make sure I check in specifically. All right, so Sarah and Joanna would be willing to be coaches. How about, so Hope, you're going to be the client. Who would like to coach first? Who would like to coach Hope?
I will. This is Sarah.
Okay. Perfect. So Hope and Sarah. Sarah, tell me, what role would you like me to have in your session today as your facilitator and your support system?
You know, I've thought about this when you've asked other people this question, and truly, I'd really just like you to come in whenever you felt prompted to. So whether that is quickly or it isn't, I'm really open to any way that you help me.
Great. And what I would just ask for you is that if I jump in and I talk a little too much or if you're ready to grab the reins again, just let me know and we can, you know, proceed that way as well. I just want to make sure you feel like you've got a voice in this.
That sounds great.
Perfect. All right. So I'm going to let you take over now and check in with your client, Hope.
All right. Hi, Hope. It's so good to hear your voice.
Sarah, I miss you.
Hi,
Sarah and I both live
too.
In LA. So
yes.
It's really good to hear you.
Wonderful,
okay.
Wonderful time in Iowa.
I am. Thank you.
Wonderful. So how are you doing? What's going on?
I'm out here in Iowa in my summer house, and I'm deliriously happy. And that shouldn't be a problem, except I'm only deliriously happy 3 to 5 weeks a year when I'm in this house. And that does feel like a problem to me right now. And I've really done a lot of self-coaching, trying to figure out what makes me so happy here and how can I bring that back to California and doing my ideal day, exercise, and just coming up over and over, you know, against obstacles that get in the way. And I feel like, geez, you know, for every suggestion or plan that I have, I immediately shoot it down and see why it can't happen. And that's frustrating for me because I think some of those obstacles are real obstacles. Like there are people in my life who I care about who, you know, would be in the way, who I can't, you know, jettison because they're my family. But, and, you know, I've really done a lot of self-coaching to say, well, do I really not want to bring these things back with me to California, or is it that I can't? I really just can't.
Can you expand on what things it is? You just said, I don't want to bring, because you said, tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You said for about 3 to 5 weeks a year when you're in Iowa. And is it mm-hmm. when you're alone? Are you alone there?
Well, in the past, I've usually been here with my daughters, but now they're older and doing their own things in the summer. So this year, I'm 5.5 weeks by myself. Yeah. And I have plenty of time at home. I have this sweet little house here, walking distance to downtown, that I bought and furnished myself about 9 years ago. I can go out for a run because it's flat anytime I want. I can walk to a coffee shop. You know, I have access in a way that's difficult to have in L.A. and certainly impossible to have where I live in L.A. But I'm sitting in my enclosed front porch where I have this white wicker furniture with red cushions and flowered pillows, and my geraniums are in the window boxes, and I'm looking out at the street, and it's a beautiful day. And I feel so happy, like I could sit here all day by myself and need nothing else. Whereas, you know, my life in California is so different.
What are you making it mean that being deliriously happy, as you put it, which sounds wonderful for those 3 to 5 weeks mm-hmm. that you're in your home in Iowa, what are you making it mean that you feel it when you're there and you don't feel that same feeling or that same experience when you're home in Los Angeles?
Well, for one thing, there's a real sense of community here, and that makes me very happy. I have a lot of friends in this town. You know, it's easy to bike around and see them or do things with them. It's very social. I think it's also that I'm not a slave to other people's schedules. You know, I actually get a little bit of say in how my day goes in a way that's hard mm-hmm. to at home. I don't have someone, you know, looking over my shoulder, telling me how I should do things differently all the time, which is a real issue with my husband. Mm-hmm. I'm also responsible for the maintenance here, and if something breaks, I fix it really quickly. I don't have the frustration of waiting weeks and sometimes months for things to get done. So, you know, this belies a lot of other issues in California. Yeah.
Mm.
It reveals other issues.
It sounds to me like you really enjoy being able to put yourself first and have your own full independence when you're here.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also, to me, it feels very much grounded in place also. But yes, that is true.
So what's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that. And I'm fine being alone and independent in California too. But it's a lifestyle that I can't transplant from here to there. It's like, I feel like I'm in my element, like I'm living in a way that makes sense to me. And I thought, why can't I just come here more often? Right. That's simple. Why can't I just come here more often? And I mean, the real practical reason why I can't is because the house is rented out during the year because I can't afford to have it otherwise. I only get it in the summer because other people are here during the year.
Well, I want to go into the obstacles that you're talking about that are getting in the way of bringing this feeling of delirious happiness, which is a wonderful way of putting it, deliriously happy, back home with you. So if we could use the 3 B's first to start, and then I want to go into the obstacle in the way. But the 3 B's, bag it, borrow it, better it. So you tell me where I'm wrong, but you can't bag it, right, leaving California?
I can't bag living in California. That's correct.
Right.
Right now.
So, right. So how could you better it? How could you bring in some of these experiences that you're having? And perhaps, tell me where I'm wrong, but perhaps it means putting in some boundaries in terms of your time and how you can implement some of the things you can do in Iowa and bring them to California with you.
How can I better it? I think the most important way that I can better it is to change my living situation, which I'm getting very close to doing, but that opens up a whole can of worms in my marriage. I don't mean leaving my marriage. I mean that I have two questions. You know, I don't mean to, you know, problematize the issue, but I can either better it, but try to better it by in my current living situation in California, or really better it by changing my living situation in California. And I, you know, so I don't know where to go with that because those are two options.
Well, I need your help with both of them. Okay, so I want you to get into your body, ground yourself, your feet on the floor.
Okay. Yep.
So the first option that you said was to, back in California, I want you to imagine changing your living environment. So whether that means going into another house, an apartment, changing towns, and feel into that and tell me how that feels in your body.
Okay, wait, I'm working on that because I'm trying to get out of my head because I'm thinking about it first. I'm going to try to feel it, okay? It feels really calming.
It feels calming.
Feels like there's like, yeah, like there's a kind of a warmth at the base of my esophagus, you know, right there where your collarbone dips into a V. I just feel like something warm kind of spreading there, which is nice.
Oh, good. Okay. And on your scale, how would you rate this? Positive 10 to negative 10?
Maybe like a 6.
Okay. And I want you to keep breathing into that wonderful, calming, warm feeling at the base of your esophagus. And tell me if you see anything visually, if it's seeing a new place where you're living, seeing a for sale sign in front of your home, anything visually that comes to you at all. And if not, that's okay.
I see myself on a bicycle, like being able to bike places instead of having to drive everywhere, which is funny because I wouldn't have expected that.
Mm-hmm.
I see myself in the house welcoming my daughter and her friends after school because where we live now is too far and too isolated from her school. Her friends can almost never come over. It's a big ordeal.
So I see people coming to us instead of us having to go there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. That sense. And for her as well.
Have you seen this house before? Or do you know what town it's in? Or is that unsure?
Mm-mm. No, I don't. It's very unsure. And what happens is when I start thinking of that, some fear and anxiety comes up too. Because, my head intervenes.
Right. So for now, let's remember that this place we're in is a place of dreaming and scheming, and we're not making any decisions right now about what you're going to do. I just want you to really feel into this feeling, wonderful feeling state, which sounds like a lot of community and for yourself, being able to experience things like you like biking around. And when you say that, do you mean being able to bike to the grocery store and different shops and so on and so forth?
I don't know. I just saw myself in exercise clothes on a bicycle.
Okay. Great.
In a neighborhood. So it could be, going to a friend's house, running errands, anything, really.
Okay. So as these visuals have come to you, and tell me if there's any others, how has your feeling state changed or has it stayed the same?
I have a feeling in my body of kind of curiosity and wonder. It's more like something appealing. It's hard, because it's so hard to really visualize because I don't have a place or a space to put myself in. So I'm kind of just imagining activities or actions.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. And following that curiosity is really what I want you to do. So is there any other visuals that have come to you, or is that the two major ones that you've described?
There's a visual of my husband arguing with me that he doesn't want to move. And that comes in. And that's a pretty powerful one. It's hard to push that one away. Or that he won't help with the move and I'm going to have to do all the work.
Tell me where I'm wrong. It sounds like
then I feel exhausted.
Not a visual. Is that a visual or a thought?
It's visual. I see him sitting on the couch telling me that. So it's visual also in addition to being a thought. It's visual. I mean, it's based on conversations we've actually had. So I am visualizing. It's like a flashback.
Okay. I want you to, as you see it, I want you to breathe into that and allow that visual to be present and not try to push it away. But remember that this is all just a visual and that there's no square three changes happening right now. We just want to feel into what it is that your soul is really craving. So to allow that to be present there. So I want you to, and what are some thoughts? Are there any thoughts, limiting beliefs that come up when you have the visualization of you having a bit of an argument with your husband about this transition? And first, could you answer the question, are you arguing with your husband at your current home or are you at a new home with him?
It's inside the current home.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are, so, are there any limiting beliefs that come up?
Wait one second. It's Jessica. I just want to pause before we go into that. I like that tactic, but I want to root hope in the other visuals that you created for her first,
mm-hmm.
Sarah, because I think there's a part that I really want to make sure you emphasize, which is how will you feel when you see, or how do you feel when you see yourself in the house, in a house, any house, welcoming your daughter's friends into the door? How do you feel? Can you go back there and feel that for me?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm starting to cry.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm being the person that I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. So what
that I've always wanted to be, that I've always expected I would become. That I'm living the correct life that is authentically me. And that's what I feel when I'm here in the summer. And what I don't feel 11 months of the year in California right now.
Okay, so what is a shorthand for that? So when Sarah was talking about community sort of as a shorthand for that feeling of welcoming your daughter's friends into your home, how would you characterize that? Like what's the feeling? Fully yourself, what else?
I feel open-hearted and generous. I feel welcoming. I feel comfortable. I feel like I'm the kind of mom I always wanted to be. I feel like I'm giving my daughter the best parts of my childhood that I always wanted to replicate for her.
Okay, so
I feel, I mean,
feeling?
Yeah.
So stay in the feeling of that rather than...
Yeah, I'm trying to get to those words.
Busy. So let's just go back to what you said, open-hearted, generous, and welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
There was another word there. Mm-hmm. Sarah, did you get it before, good mom?
Comfortable, yeah.
Was that? Comfortable, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Comfortable.
Okay. So I just want to pause there because your mind is jumping in again.
Uh-huh.
So bask in the feeling of open-hearted, generous, welcoming, and comfortable. Okay, we've got those words written down for you.
Mm-hmm.
We've got them here. We're holding them for you. So you don't need to hold on to them other than the feeling. Okay, pause.
Yeah.
I want you to then go to the biking scenario and do the same thing. Tell me how you feel when you see yourself in your exercise clothes tootling around on your bicycle.
I feel free. I feel expansive. I feel liberated, like there's a lot of room to grow.
Okay.
I feel the opposite of contained. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what the word is. I guess it's expansive.
Well, expansive is pretty good.
Yeah.
Opposite of contained. Sarah, do you have any other words that might come up as the opposite of contained?
I think either, yeah, expansive or free, which she said the first word was free.
Opposite of, I'm going to write that down, actually, because I think it's good. All right. So before your mind starts whirring again, I just want you to be in this space for a moment and bask in it. Feel open-hearted and generous. Feel welcoming and comfortable. Feel free and expansive and liberated, like there's room to grow. You are the opposite of contained. You are uncontainable. No one, ain't nobody going to be able to contain that. But can you feel those?
Yeah, I can.
Cool. All right.
I can.
So the reason I paused there is because I wanted to make sure that we really cemented this feeling in for our client, Sarah, because you can hear a lot of anxiety rushing in the moment she gets into her husband's business.
Yeah.
Or, you know, starts projecting a future, starts worrying. Sorry, that's my shorthand. Hopefully I didn't offend you. But, you know, it's the moment we bring in another person, or really the avatar of another person, because we can never actually know how. We can have a pretty good idea, or we think we can. We lose connection with our own source of power. And so before we went into limiting beliefs, and I think that's great, and I totally want to let you go back there, I want to make sure we spend time in the feeling state we're trying to create so that, because when our client brings that feeling state, there's also a belief and a knowledge and sort of this tapping in that's possible. There's a possibility there.
Mm-hmm.
Before we contract again and go into the limitation of, well, my husband's never going to buy it and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I just, that's why I kind of paused. And could you also
can
feel
I ask
the energy?
You just,
sure, go ahead.
A question about, and yes, I did feel the energy shift. My question about it is bringing her into that wonderful feeling state, a lot like when I've been with other people of the ideal day or something. I'm really allowing them to feel into it. Then what do you usually do with that or after that? Or is it just merely bringing them there so they can really bask in it and experience it?
Well, so what I would probably do is focus on how to begin creating those feeling states in the everyday life before we really get into that hot and bug, that really, because Hope's husband is very triggering for her, or her husband's potential judgment, and he's the dream squasher in this scenario.
Right.
whether he truly is or not, I can't possibly.
No, he's really a very, very nice guy.
Exactly.
This is not husband bashing. He's a really great guy.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying is that
he is a dream basher in this one area.
He's a dream basher in this one area because you have cast him in this movie as the villain of this particular dream. He's not the villain for real, but he is something in you, probably an old pattern or an old fear, and he is picking up what you're putting down. Unconsciously, it's all happening unconsciously, but if we think about this as a movie, because that's what I love about what Sarah's doing with you, is she's helping you recast and reimagine your movie, because right now your movie goes like this. I'm trapped, I'm trapped, I'm trapped. My husband won't let me leave. I'm trapped, I'm trapped, I'm trapped.
Well,
not
yeah, it's also, yeah, I get it. I totally get that. I have lived with the guy for 19 years, though, and really tried hard to make this happen, and we get stuck in that dance. I think it's both of us in that dance together.
Oh, yeah, sure, but he's
and
not.
I can only handle my business and how I do it,
right,
which is
right.
Took me like about a dozen years to learn.
Right. I'm still learning, and I've been together with my husband for 18 years, so I get it.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, to your question, the reason is I don't think we're going to solve this today. It'd be great if we did. I mean, that'd be amazing. I'm open to the possibility.
Right.
But what we want to do is we want to kind of, because what happens is the moment we get back into that pattern of the dance that Hope and her husband do, we're going back into the old movie, and we want to make sure that it's we're recasting this movie, we're redoing it. How can we do that without falling back into the old loop? I think this is the dance you're going to do. So that's philosophically how I'd approach it. I think there's probably a million different ways, or maybe three, I don't know, that we could do it. I don't think the way you were going was wrong. I just wanted to make sure that you didn't get too far ahead of yourself and bring your client back into the misery, I don't know if that's the right word, but the pain before we cemented the good feelings.
Here, one other question first, because what my plan was, what I was going to do next was to have her visualize, get into the imagery of both situations, because she said changing her living situation or staying in the current situation and bettering it, living situation.
Right.
Could I,
great.
Those are the two options. So I was going to take her into that and see how that felt in the body. But do you feel like that's jumping over? Sorry, go ahead.
You can do that. Make sure you do it now with, you've got the words to guide that conversation now where you were missing them before. Does it make you feel freer, more expanded, liberated, open, right? Or, does it take you closer to that or further away? Because right now we're doing a dance.
Right.
That's why you needed that language before you could even get into the conversation around the husband. And I am sorry to call him the husband. I don't know his name otherwise. So I think you can proceed, you know, however you want. You can go back to where you were going. You can back up. You can.
Okay.
Up to you.
Okay, great.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you for the thank you for letting me intervene. I appreciate it.
Thank you for intervening. Hi, Hope.
Hey, Sarah.
So I'd like us to try to get in your body again. So maybe shake your arms off from the situation we were just in. It's wonderful. Even though I know it's not. Usually you don't want to shake off a wonderful situation. But I want us to try to go into what it would be like and just take a few deep breaths in through your nose and out your mouth, just being in this moment and not in any thoughts of the past or the future. And I want you to think about just imagining what it would be like if you were to go back to California but not change your living situation. And perhaps we could better it, but the living situation would be the same as it was before you left. So I want you to breathe into that and imagine that there can be changes made, of course. Nothing has to be concrete, but your actual living situation, your environment will be the same. And how does that feel in your body?
It feels, there's a little bit of agitation in my chest. A little bit of resistance, I guess, you know, like a pushback in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
I feel kind of depleted and exhausted a little bit, you know, like I felt my shoulders slump a little bit instead of, you know, like being strong, a little defeated kind of posture. I'm trying just to stay in my body now and not analyze it.
Good.
So I think, it just feels like a depletion in my body and a posture of defeat.
So I want you to imagine now, because again, remember, we're just dreaming and scheming here. Imagine the end of the summer and you're going back to this same living situation. But in this experience right now, we can make some shifts and changes that might feel really good for you while being in the same situation. Are there any visuals that come to you, or does that evoke any different feelings in your body?
I think I need to be more specific about what kind of change we're talking about.
Okay, so
I don't exactly. There's so many different ways I can go with change. I don't know, how to define it or where to start.
So can you tell me, keep breathing, and into this visualization, and tell me if there's anything that comes to you when you think of being free, feeling expansive, liberated, feeling really open-hearted, generous, welcoming and comfortable in your same situation, living environment.
Yeah, I think I could have friends over for dinner more.
Okay.
You know, fill the house with people a little bit more often. Try to make space for that. Maybe, you know, cultivate those relationships or invite people who live closer, because my friends who live far away simply do not want to drive to my house. I'm way up in a canyon. They'd rather meet somewhere else. So we do a lot of meeting at restaurants kind of thing. But I think if I could find a way to maybe bring more people into the house, it might feel a little more community-oriented.
Mm. So I want you to imagine that you have a group of women or a group of couples or friends in your home right now. You're having dinner and drinks and laughing and wonderful conversations. How does that feel in your body?
You know, it feels really light and happy when I'm sitting around the table with them, when they're actually in the house with me.
Okay.
It feels, as I imagine them leaving, it feels heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a little like, I know this is going to sound silly, but I'm going to say it anyway, like, oh my God, I have to spend the next hour or hour and a half cleaning up myself.
Mm, okay.
Which is not always true, because sometimes my husband helps, so I don't know where that's coming from. But I think I feel like sad watching them leave.
Mm.
You know, so I feel sadness, actually.
Well, first, I just want to say again, as Jessica was saying about getting in to really just notice, not doing anything about it, but just notice when we get in other people's business, specifically your husband, because you went from that really wonderful feeling place. I'm sorry, did you say something, Jessica?
No.
Oh, you went from that really wonderful place of imagining all these people sitting around the table to a quick shift when you thought about the cleaning up and that you would be doing it most likely on your own. So I just want you to notice that and watch it when you're getting in your husband's business in that area. In any area that stifles you feeling free, expanded, liberated, generous, open-hearted, welcoming, comfortable, all of those feelings, anything that stifles that in terms of getting in his
business.
Okay,
well, the cleanup does. Is that my husband's business, the cleanup?
Well,
you
had
when
said
the people leaving? You do it by yourself, yeah.
You said doing it by yourself.
Okay.
You said that's when you were getting in his business.
Okay. So then the cleaning up and the people leaving makes me start feeling a little sad and exhausted.
I want you to imagine right now that everyone's leaving. I want you to really visualize that. You can see them going. It's been a wonderful night. And I want you to imagine that you look over. If you can do this, and tell me if you can't. And your husband's already in the kitchen cleaning up. Can you see that or feel that?
Yeah, I can. I've seen it before. It's not hard to visualize.
Okay, so how does it feel? And I really want you to feel into that. How does it feel to see him supporting you putting together this dinner in a way? Because he is, by helping cleaning up. And really participating in that way. How does that feel to have that teammate?
I feel grateful. But you know, me in my body, it feels just calm and, you know, calm and peaceful.
Good.
You know, I don't feel any, you know, it's the absence of any feeling really, you know, it's any physical sensation. Nothing's clenching, nothing's hurting.
Good.
So I'm going to pause here again, and I just want to look at the time and think about how would you begin to wrap this session up? It doesn't mean you guys can't continue offline or, you know, like have another session together. But how would you begin to kind of wrap this up now?
Okay.
And don't tell me. Just do it.
Okay. So I would like to continue, Hope, so we can go back to the what sounds to me, tell me where I'm wrong, but what feels the best for you right now would be, you know, the best feeling states around changing your living situation. But tell me where I'm wrong, but that sounds like it's something that can't be done in the immediate, right when you get home. So I'd really like to talk about if there's, besides having, we have one thing that you can do when you get home to help bring these feeling states into your current living situation. About trying to have some friends over for a dinner, or whether it's tea or drinks or whatever you'd like to do. But is there anything else you can do? You had mentioned before that feeling about having your children's friends come in. Your children come in the house and they have some friends over, and how that gave you some of these really wonderful feeling states. Is there anything you can do with your daughters and their friends to cultivate this feeling, these feelings?
I have to think about that. You know, when I was in that expansive state, I was imagining them just coming over after school. So I have to modify that. Generally, if she's going to have friends, they have to come sleep over because the parents don't want to, you know, drive, make the drive. And I'll drive in one direction. I guess I could offer her to have a couple of her friends sleep over. And that's not unusual. That happens.
Yeah.
But I think even more what I should do is look at the calendar and find a night before I leave Iowa where I can set up a dinner party at my house. And if you want to continue coaching with me after this, Sarah, since we know each other, I'd be happy to. We can work on why I immediately go to the space in my head of negativity and why that's going to be difficult, because it shouldn't be. Right?
Right.
But I think I'd love to invite... If I can invite, you know, just isolate a day where I can invite some people over, and then I'll have that on the calendar so that when I get home, that's coming up. Maybe that's a good thing.
That's really wonderful. That's wonderful. The only other thing before we end that I really want you to just think about is that twice now you talked about having this bike. I could see it for you when you were in that visualization. It felt that strong to me. You currently where you are biking around. And also when we talked about your new a change of living situation. So do you own a bike in California?
I do, but my neighborhood is, you know, the canyons are steep. I can't bike in my neighborhood. I do have a bike, yeah.
Do you have a bike rack?
I have a bike rack. I do.
So my thought is, and tell me how this feels for you and your body, is either taking your bike and whatever comes to you, whichever town you decide, you know what, I want to go this afternoon and I'm going to bike by myself in this town and see how this feels for me. Or there's so many towns you can rent bikes into, do that instead. But spending an afternoon by yourself or with your daughters or perhaps even with your husband, doing that and seeing if any of these same liberated, free feelings come up for you as they have currently and in this visualization that we did previously.
I like that. I might be the only person who chooses a new neighborhood to live in by biking in it first.
I think that's amazing.
Great. That's amazing.
If I start looking for a new, you know, to relocate, I should bike around in the neighborhood to see how it feels.
I think that sounds amazing.
And if it matches with...
Because when you were talking about the biking, at least for me, I really was with you there. In both scenarios, when you currently are doing it and when you are visualizing it. So I think that could be something to start thinking about, which neighborhoods you want to start biking around, which town, and just really have fun doing that and thinking of it as dreaming and scheming and not any decision has to be made, just to enjoy.
I know. I make myself sound like such an athlete, which is really funny because I'm so not. I just need to detach from car living. It's just making me crazy. Mm. To be in a car that much. So when I get off the phone now, I'm going to bike to my class at 2:00. So I will think about that feeling that I have biking to my class and think about how I can try to transfer that back to California.
Yeah, that sounds great. And think about which neighborhoods to do it in, because there's so many, you know, that you can do that around in the LA area.
Awesome. So how was that for you, Hope?
That was good. It was unexpectedly emotional. I realized, you know, it is a struggle for me to keep the chatter in my head that tells me why this isn't going to work. And it really brings up for me, like, if Sarah and I were doing, you know, like a 6-week package or something, what other entry points might be to work on. It was very helpful. Very helpful.
I had a few things that I would suggest working on as well. So perfect. I'm so glad. I'm glad it was helpful.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. You're so great.
Thank you, Hope. So good to hear your voice.
So how was that for you, Sarah? How did that go?
it was good. You know, I do notice, certainly, when I'm on the, I do have a tendency to feel on the spot a little bit, at the beginning of whenever I'm on a coach-to-coach call instead of just with someone privately, you know.
Me too.
So I did notice that a little bit. But after, it didn't take long before I really felt connected to Hope in it. For me, the visualization stuff really connects me in to the person I'm coaching. And those notes you gave me were really great. I could see where I could see what you were saying, but I realized I noticed all that and had notes about it, but I jumped over it instead of really getting her in it more.
Yeah, and that's no problem there at all. You know, I think that's just part of I'm in a very comfortable place where I'm observing and I'm not actually coaching, so it's easy for me to see it. Yeah, you know, I think, you know, Hope is, you're such a bright mind. I can feel how, like, smart you are, and also just your mind is very busy. Work, 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 work. It works a lot. And so, which is not a problem. I wholly and completely relate to that. What I loved about what you did, Sarah, was, as, you know, you kept kind of bringing your leadership energy in a very gentle but firm way, to redirect conversation or to, you know, I really love that you brought her into the visual, because I think that's a really powerful, in the body, very powerful for, especially for someone who's who's as bright as Hope, you know, whose mind is so active and eager and also a wonderful dreamer too, you know. So I thought that was a great approach. One thing I wanted to point out, this isn't about the quality of coaching as much as I just wanted to point out one thing. This is kind of like how multiple, there are lots of streams to the sea, you know, there's lots of ways to get to the sea. One thing that kind of jumped out at me that you guys might want to talk a little bit more about when you talk next is there's this idea that, and you mentioned this right at the top of the call, Hope, about how you're deliriously happy in your house in Iowa. I wonder if maybe some of the suffering and the challenge that you're having here is that you should feel this way all the time.
Mm-hmm. I thought about that this morning, actually. Well, you know, when you find a place that really works for you and you're really happy and you know it exists, it's kind of tantalizing to think I could have more of this in my life.
Well, but I think this is also part of this limitation, is that maybe part of the reason you're deliriously happy is it's certainly the place, but it's who you are in that place, what it uncovers in you, and that if you were there all the time, you might not be deliriously happy all the time.
Totally get that. I know winter in Iowa is really different, yeah.
Right.
Totally get
so
that.
It's a modulation. It's more about, it's like, right, can we find a thread that pulls through your life where you're not plummeting back into the, you know, into the depths of despair when you get home? Can we elevate that and let Iowa be, and not Iowa itself, but sort of who you are in Iowa? Can we bring more of that to California and bring, you know, kind of bring the low level up higher? Because I think that's one of the misconceptions that we start to, I mean, sometimes that in and of itself is a limiting belief. I need to be deliriously happy wherever I am. And it discounts and discredits the beauty of contrast and the importance of contrast in the other parts of your life, because it's what points us into, you know, points us towards our better life, is those low times.
Yeah, I totally get that.
That's something, yeah, good, because that's something I think you could talk about, because every time you would plummet sort of down, like when they leave, I have to clean it up myself. And this is just good for you to notice too, Sarah, is any time negativity creeps in, it doesn't always mean it's not on the path. It might be that there's a limiting belief holding the client back. So, like, anytime there's clenching, it's probably because there's a belief system at play. So, and some of it is, again, it's that old pattern that might be playing out because this is a long-time relationship. So, you know, Hope and her husband are kind of in this dance together, and we want to kind of take us out of that pattern. But just notice, like, anytime there's a clenching, it doesn't always mean that it's the wrong path. It might be that there's a belief system at play. So remember, our beliefs affect our body compass, because it's like, well, I can't feel this way all the time. And so as a result, when I don't feel this way, it means that I'm living the wrong life. Maybe not true. It might be that it's less about living that way all the time and more about regulation. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm articulating it well.
Mm-hmm.
So just to notice when you're working with a client that, and especially using the body compass and the three B's, because I have to clean this up myself, limiting beliefs, can we use the three B's on it? Can you better it? Can you bag it? Can you barter it? What would those scenarios look like? So there's myriad ways, but actually working with the belief that comes up as part of the coaching is a powerful way to kind of redirect those dreams to, rather than being like, oh, well, I can't have a party because I have to clean up after myself. More about, do I have to clean up after myself? Let's question that. Is that making sense? I'm having a hard time articulating it, but does that make sense?
No, I think so. I just had a question, because when I was going to bring her into the limiting beliefs, remember before I brought her,
yep,
you helped bring her fully in her body, that's where I was going with that. So
I get it.
Gotten clenched up about her husband. So you're saying, just so making sure I understand, to bring her fully first into that positive feeling state, then address,
yeah,
the limiting beliefs that's coming up in it, instead of going, okay, I see the limiting beliefs, let me go get on that.
Yeah, because you did a really nice job when you were asking what kinds of changes she can bring back to California, and I like that you kind of gave her a couple of different scenarios. I think you painted the picture well. I like that you brought those adjectives back in to describe how she was feeling. And, you know, having friends over for dinner, and I like that you walked her through the scenario and that you asked then, okay, it feels light and happy when they're there, but when they leave, I feel heavy and sad. I like that you asked why, because then another limiting belief came up.
Right.
But when I asked Hope to really describe what it would look like, her life, fully myself, free, expansive, you always have a point to get back to. You always have a baseline to get back to, and you always have a way to then work with those limiting beliefs in context of the right direction.
Okay, got it.
I feel like I'm being a little theoretical, but I think when you guys continue to work together, you'll see what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. Thank you.
Because if you just left it there, it's like, oh, when they leave, I have to clean up myself. If we never examined that further, it might limit from Hope having a party, because there's a limiting belief
mm-hmm.
that says, well, I feel like crap when they leave, so why bother having the party in the first place?
Right.
So there's something to work with again. And you were doing that.
Can
I just
add something
to point
in there?
Out that that's powerful. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
I just want to add that, you know, I often get off the phone with a client and I think, oh, gosh, did I really help them? And then I have to remind myself, there may have just been one moment in there that they're going to carry with them and think about for another week or two, and I don't even know what it is, but it's going to change the way they think.
Yep.
And I'm listening to you guys talk, and I'm thinking about the cleanup, and I thought, well, I should just, like, download some really fun music that I can listen to while I'm doing the dishes, and it would make
exactly.
it so much nicer to spend mm-hmm. that, you know, 40 or 45 minutes in the kitchen, you know, doing that, and I just have to find a way to make that a nicer time for myself rather than drudgery.
And that's exactly what I'm trying
to
say, and you said it much more articulately, which is essentially is that the three B's don't just stop at how to make things better at home. They actually then work in layers, because now we're finding a way to better the experience, because we've already determined that you want to have more people in your life. Well, now we've found that one of the
mm-hmm.
limitations is that you've unconsciously perhaps, I don't know, been holding back because of that, like, oh, but then they leave, I'll be sad. Well, now we know why you're going to be sad, because you think you have to clean up by yourself.
No, I'm alone again. I'm a really social animal, and I'm, you know, I haven't.
Well, so there's that.
You know, I have to work on that, yeah.
But that, there you go. I'm alone again. Is that true? I would even bring that into an examination and go deeper with it.
Because yes, I should say I feel alone again. And look
so
at that.
So that's
yeah.
We,
yeah, that's a place
to
look
at it. But yeah, it's a place. Well, and I yeah. think Sarah can help you with that. So I guess my point here in all of this is that an issue like this is not. You can feel the number of layers that are actually were unfolding here. There's tons and tons of layers to this experience. And so that's why there's lots of different ways you can get to helping your client, Hope. And
right.
in the meantime, you've created a couple of really powerful small shifts in her life just through this conversation. So all that's to say is good job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Hope.
Thank you. You're so awesome.
Both are so awesome.
Then you're so everybody's awesome.
So you are. No, you are. So good. All right. Well, thank you so much. Any questions or comments from the other folks on the line? All right. Cool. Thank you. So we need another coaching duet. And hope I, you know, jump off the call whenever you need to go. I know you need to go right at, was it right at 2:30, I think.
I need to go ride my bicycle to my class, yeah.
Okay, I know. I'm excited for you. Excited. So good. All right, and you two will connect offline. So, Joanna, yeah. you mentioned that you'd be willing to be a coach or a client. We need another person. Anybody who is desperate to be a coach?
Actually, I said that I don't mind either being the client or just listening to the dean.
Oh,
just being
okay.
an
so you'd be a client. Okay, so that would work. So who would like to coach Joanna?
I will coach her. This is Adrienne.
Oh, hello. Welcome. Perfect. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
So what role would you like me to take in your session, Adrienne?
I don't mind you jumping in anytime you see me going awry. I'd rather that than me go along and then you're like, okay, well, you know, I'd rather you jump in the middle. That's great for me.
Okay. All right. Good. So the floor is yours, madam.
Okay. Hi, Joanna. How are you?
Hi, Adrienne. I am okay.
Oh, I hear a little bit of in your voice. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You are absolutely not wrong at all.
What's going on?
Where should I start? Well, I'm a little bit upset right now because things are just not going the way I expected them to. And it seems as though I'm going to have to get a new job, which I am not at all thrilled about. So, yeah, that's it basically.
Okay, so you're not thrilled about it. What's coming up right away with when you think about starting a new job? Is it are you nervous about looking, or are you just feeling like starting something new again? What's kind of your overwhelming feeling there?
My overwhelming feeling is not getting to coach on a full-time basis. That's really what I want to do. And just to think about getting a job that does not involve coaching, it is a little bit frustrating for me. Yeah.
So the loss of freedom and in being
it's
able to coach?
Not, well, freedom, yes. That is part of it, but that's to a lesser extent. It's more being able to help people in the way that I think can really impact their lives, you know. my background in terms of corporate is in telecommunications. And if I have to go back and work, most likely it will be easier for me to get a job in that field. And while it's great to keep people connected via the phone, it's not really what I'm looking for to fulfill my life purpose. And it's just thinking about having to do that again is, yeah, just frustrating. That's the word that keeps coming up for me.
Frustrating. Okay. And this choice is this a choice or is this kind of a must? Is it?
It's a must.
It's a must. Okay.
Yeah. It's a must, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And have you found the job yet or not?
I have not, but I have started looking.
You've started looking, okay. Okay, let's think about it. So what, if you could get your feet onto the floor, are you in a comfortable position?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can sit and relax. And maybe can you, are you comfortable going into your body?
Yes, sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you think about going, going to work at this new job, how does that feel to you? Are you feeling any sensations in your body?
Yes, I'm feeling my chest constricting. It's very tight.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you're in moments like these and your chest is constricting, what's a place that you come to that, or is there a place you can visualize that feels free and clear?
I don't feel free and clear at all. I think the freest that I've ever felt in my life is when I'm coaching people. So I just feel the tightness in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just pause, Adrienne, because I hear a little bit of hesitation in your voice, and I thought I could come and support you a little bit. So what do you think is going on with your client? Sorry, we're going to have a coffee talk over here, Joanna, so just a moment.
Well,
no problem.
I think she's really nervous about finding a job or making the leap to do that and feeling like she's abandoning coaching. And I'm a little bit stuck on how to.
Well, you know, this is one of the things is that part of the there's probably a lot of thoughts that are coming up along with these feelings. And so there's this feeling of perhaps going back, not being as free, not being able to coach full-time means, you know, there's a lot of meaning-making that's happening. And I'm not 100% clear on what Joanna's making it mean, that she's got to go find a job in the meantime because her coaching practice isn't taking off as well as she was hoping. I'm not clear on that yet, which I think is part of the challenge, is what do you make it mean that you have to go get it, that you need to go get a job? So that's one kind of question I have. And there's also just this, you know, there's a few different things that came up. I mean, I could make guesses. I mean, I think I have an idea of kind of, based on what Jenna shared is, you know, there's, if I get a full-time job, I'm not going to be coaching. I'm not going to be able to coach. I won't be able to help people in a way that really impacts their lives. You know, why do you feel frustrated? Right? There's all of this swirling, and it's probably because the future is unknown, but it's based on a past for Joanna that really no longer exists because who Joanna is now is not who she was before. Mm. And so we're bringing all of that, pardon my language, crap with us when we begin anticipating and imagining a future. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And so I think that's your job, is to clear up, like, what is really going on here? Is it, you know, what's really creating this tremendous amount of pain for your client? Is it the full-time job I'm not going to be able to coach? Is that really true? I won't be able to help people in a way to really impact their lives. Is that true? Right? It's like, what are we actually coaching around? So if you're not sure, then let's go in and dig a little bit further to get clarity, because your client, Joanna, may not be clear. She might be not completely clear on why she's so bummed, or she might be, and we just need to get her, you know, get her to really articulate it.
Okay.
So I think that's why you were struggling, is you just need to kind of go back in and get, like, what are you actually coaching on?
Right.
Is that helpful?
Okay. Very much so. Thank
you. Perfect. Back to you.
All right. Okay, Joanna, I'm sure you didn't hear any of that.
I did, yeah.
But I think the best question that Jessica helped with was, you know, what are you making it mean to find a new job? You know, what does that mean to you?
I'm just trying to get into my body. I'm making it mean that I will not be able to do what I want to. I wouldn't have the kind of freedom that I have come to enjoy. I would not be able to help as many people, or help them as deeply as I would like to. I'm just envisioning this Facebook post that I saw. One of my clients, she recently was having a hard time, and I actually offered her a complimentary session just to help her out, really. The last session was complimentary, and after the session, a few days later, I noticed on her Facebook page, she posted about her life. She wrote this long segment, like an article, talking about her life, and in the article, she mentioned coaching with me, and what really stood out for me was how much that 1 hour session really helped her. And I feel as though I'm just making getting a job mean that I can no longer have that kind of impact, which I guess is not true. Now that I'm thinking about it, it really isn't.
Does that give you, when you said just now, you said it, I'm really finding it's not true, meaning you could possibly help people in an impactful way, even if you get a new job?
Yeah.
How could you do that?
I can do that by either coaching on a weekend. I can also do that in my new job. If my coworkers are having a difficult time. And also I can help still by probably writing and blogging, that can help people as well.
Mm-hmm. And you do feel like you can be able to do that while you're working?
Um, Actually, I know I can, but now I realize it's just that I don't want to.
Oh!
After being a bit of a brat, I realize now I'm just being kind of bratty. If I'm being honest, now I'm just realizing that.
So I just want to pause here because I want to point out something that's really powerful for everybody. Being a brat is actually a fantastic coaching tool. There is so much goodness when we let our inner brat out. And so before you move away from that, I just wanted to acknowledge, like, that's a really good thing. Because what it demonstrates is how passionate Joanna is about coaching, and it's also a little guidepost towards Joanna's right life. Because when she loses sight of the coaching, it makes her bratty. So the coaching is always, it's not even the coaching, it's being and having an impact on people's lives in that particular way she was describing. And so I just want to point it out because it's a guide. Being bratty means you know what you want your life to look and feel like. It may just be that it needs to change sort of the shape temporarily, but let that feeling guide you, because when you aren't, you get bratty. Does that make sense? Right? That's the shadow. And it's very, very powerful.
Yeah, that's great. Should we play with that more, Jessica?
It's up to you. I just wanted to make sure that you didn't miss it, because sometimes there's this cultural idea and this social idea that I'm not allowed to be a brat. I don't know if that's true for you, Joanna, but for me, when I was bratty, I was always told, bad girl, no, don't be a brat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
So I like that you said it, because I don't want you to think that it's bad that you're being bratty. It's actually very, very good. And I applaud you. So you decide what you want to do, Adrian. I just wanted to make sure you didn't miss it because of the cultural implications of brattiness.
Oh, yeah, because I'll be honest with you, it's a blind spot for me. Because when you say brat, it's like, oh, yeah, we're not allowed to be brats.
We're not allowed to be bratty. So we don't want to coach our client out of being bratty. We want to use it as a tool. So however you do that is up to you, but you don't have to. You can also go back to where you feel most confident, but I just want to make sure that you didn't miss it. So keep going. Apologies.
No, thanks for pointing that out, because that's actually a huge blind spot for me. When I would have probably skirted away from that, like, oh, okay, well, let's not be bratty.
And that would have been fine, too. But we're not here to, you know, skirt away from things if we don't have to. So.
Exactly. No, I appreciate it. I really appreciate the input.
Good.
Yeah, because what I'm going to ask you, Joanna, is, okay, if you're being bratty, let's just be bratty for a minute. Let's just say, I want my way, and I want it now. What does I want my way look like to you?
I want my way look like me being able to have my coaching practice full scale, where I can do one-on-one coaching, where I can do workshops, where I can do seminars, partner with other women in the industry, and really have some really great quarterly sessions with women and teenagers. It looks like me being able to create, products for people who either can't afford to come to a workshop or who just prefer to work on their own. You know, have affordable products for them to listen to in the car or as they walk, or like Hope as she bikes, you know, to really help them on a large scale. What it looks like for me is, you know, just waking up every morning on purpose and knowing that I can just do that only, like this one thing. I keep hearing people talking about multitasking, and that's something in my past life, I like to say, in corporate, used to completely, you know, frustrate me, this multitasking, which I really don't believe in, because you can only really focus on one thing at a time and be excellent at it. And coaching is what I want to do, the one thing I want to do. And I really just don't want to do anything else. You know, just doing anything else just makes me pout.
Okay, well, one of the things I'm noticing, and you can tell me where I'm wrong here, but you want to be coaching full-time, and I'm just looking for some clarity. Part of the reason you're not coaching full-time is because you don't have a full list of clientele. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's correct, but let me just clarify. When I left my corporate job in 2014, I started doing small and medium business consulting. So I help people with their marketing and automating their business and that kind of thing. And to some extent, I still kind of do that, yes. But I started to transition across to life coaching, and I realized that it's not really happening in terms of clients. I don't have enough clients on either side, whether it's coaching or consulting at this point, to sustain, you know, my bills and you know, my other obligations right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand what you're saying about multitasking, but is it possible? I don't know what kind of, you said telecommunications, so I assume, in my mind, you can tell me where I'm wrong here, but in my mind I see lots of people in a room, like cubicles, you have lots of coworkers. Is that what you're envisioning for your new job, or am I way off?
Actually, I'm not envisioning a lot of people. My last position, I was an administrator for corporate clients. So I actually did not have that many people around me on the same floor yet, but not, like, immediately around me. So having a lot of people is not the issue. It's just, I guess, having to provide a service that I'm not passionate about. That's it. Yes, I now get it. It's having to provide a service that I'm no longer passionate about. It's just going to be, well, okay, I'm going to sell you a PBX system because that's what's going to pay the bills. That's not what I'm into anymore. And it's just, you know, I guess it's to me, it's like doing something that you shouldn't have to do. And therein probably lies a limiting belief. You know, you shouldn't have to sell stuff that you're not passionate about.
So let me ask a question. I'm just going to intervene again. Apologies. I just want to keep track of time as well. So do you hear what the limiting belief is here, Adrian? Are you getting a sense of what's happening? We've heard, I mean, could you feel how passionate Joanna was when she was talking about coaching?
Yes.
The question is, if you are doing, so here's what I'm missing for myself. So I'm going to ask a clarifying question, if you don't mind. So, Joanna, how will you feel, or how do you imagine you'll feel when you have, you know, when you were describing your sort of your vision for your business, your coaching practice? How will you feel when you have that? How will you feel?
Oh my gosh, I will feel on top of the moon. I will feel like I'll be feeling great. I'll be happy seeing other people smiling. Why?
Do you feel like you're
because
making
then
difference?
I will be.
Yeah. You'll be. Go ahead.
Sorry, can you repeat that for me?
Is it that you'll feel like you're making a difference?
Yes.
Okay.
Like I'm making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I will feel like I'm helping to make the world a better place, one person at a time.
I just want to write this down. So when I get a job, I have to provide a service I'm no longer passionate about. Do you remember saying that?
Yes. Yeah.
So when you get a job, you have to provide a service and you no longer. Are you saying that you can't help make the world a better place one person at a time and, like, you're not making a difference? Is that true?
I guess that's not true.
Okay. So
it's not true.
Okay. So what I would like for you to do, Adrian, is just, well, tell me, what do you think is going on? How do you want to proceed? There's
well,
a couple of things. Yeah.
I see where you're going with, you know, can you not make a, you know, not make a difference one person at a time in a different job? And that's where I was actually going with, I didn't think that having a bunch of people around was an issue. I was actually going with when you have coworkers, how is it different than when you're offering someone a complimentary session that was on hard times or just really needed you? That's the direction
yeah.
I'm going with.
I think ultimately, though, being TAO and really just working with what your client has given you, because you're doing a lot of work to try and get into where you want to go. And I think ultimately, if you just address this issue, this limiting belief head on, you'll do
mm-hmm.
yourself a huge favor. And on it. Because
yeah.
that's really what I'm seeing is that, you know, this, Joanna has a vision for what she wants to create. And now she has a belief that because she is in a financial position where she's choosing to take a job that is not coaching, that it means that somehow along the way she's going to have to abandon her hopes and dreams for this coaching practice. And so what I feel like you really want to do is paint a picture of how do you show up when you're looking for a job? How do you show up to your future employers? How do you show up just in general when you're carrying all these heavy beliefs? When you think that getting a job means you can't impact the world in the same way that you'd like to, who are you with that belief? Because I feel like even though that might be obvious, sort of, you know, I really think we need to feel into that so that Joanna can see how carrying this burden of this belief is actually making all of this far more painful than it might need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't want you to work too hard for it. Grab a thought and go. And you don't have to do the work on it per se. You can, you know, maybe deconstruct the work a little bit. You can kind of play with it a bit. Or you can do it exactly as it is. But don't work so hard.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Kind of, yeah, it is. I'm yes, thank you. So asking questions that are, I think that's where I get hung up is like when there's questions that are so, that seem so obvious. I feel like, I guess I feel like the client's like, Captain Obvious. You know what I mean?
So that's your limiting belief. So know that. That's
uh-huh.
your blind spot. So let me just, is it okay if I demo a little bit?
Yeah, please.
Cool. So, Joanna, thank you for your patience, just being in the moment with us here. So when I get a job, I have to provide a service I'm no longer passionate about. Does that feel like a painful belief that you carry?
Yes.
Does that feel more painful than when I get a job, I'll no longer be able to do what I want? What kind of resonates more with you?
I'm thinking, Okay, not to be difficult, I'll choose the latter. Even though they do seem very close to me, but I'll choose the latter.
No, you know, this is the reason I ask is because I think language is very important. What makes you kind of feel the crappiest mm-hmm. is, so when I get a job, I'll no longer be able to do what I want to. Is that fair? That's
mm-hmm,
the one?
Yeah.
All right. So when you believe the thought, when I get a job, I'll no longer be able to do what I want to, how does that make you feel? Who are you, and how do you show up in the world when you believe that?
I am a difficult person.
Get bratty, right?
Yeah, I'm very bratty. I pout everything, and I think also just difficult to be around as well.
Okay. All right. So are there any images that come to mind when you believe that thought? When I get a job, I'll no longer be able to do what I want to. Any images that might spring up or...
Yes, as you say that, I'm actually envisioning me sitting at the desk with my computer on and an Excel spreadsheet, very specific, an Excel spreadsheet with a lot of data on there, and I'm just sitting there, and it seems as though it's like late in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So are there any like addictions or behaviors or any patterns that kind of get triggered when you believe the thought, when I get a job, I'll no longer be able to do what I want to? Is there anything? So besides being a difficult person to be around,
yeah.
Bratty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like pull away from people. I don't like to socialize as much because I'm just thinking, oh, okay, I have to go get this job now and I'm not going to be able to socialize with people as much as before because I wouldn't have the time. So, you know, let me just get used to it right now, you know. I'm also thinking, well, I'm not going to be able to spend as much time focusing on, you know, reading books and stuff to help me with the coaching. So I'm not going to be as great of a coach as I could be because I won't have the time to, you know, read and study and keep up to date with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so you kind of get into that.
I become a little bit sad. Yeah, I get into all of that and get very sad. Yeah.
So it sounds like what happens is that, have you ever heard the term catastrophizing? It's a...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like you start catastrophizing. It's like, when I get a job, I'll no longer be able to do what I want. And so that means... everything's going to fall apart. I'm no longer going to be a good coach. I'm not going to have time for people. I'm not going to be able to have it. So it's like it becomes a very catastrophic scenario.
Yeah.
How do you treat your potential employer when you're believing the thought, when I get a job, I'll no longer be able to do what I want to?
I am not going to show up in a very productive way. I am not going to be a very good team player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see that.
Do you show up as a coach? What happens with your coaching skills?
Well, they don't go away.
No.
So they will be there with me, yes.
But do you bring those with you into your interviews when you believe the thought, I'll no longer be able to do what I want?
In this moment, no, I don't.
So it's almost like you're not showing up as yourself because who you are now is a coach. You can't take off your coach hat and be somebody else. You are a coach. And what I'm hearing is in this scenario, when you believe the thought, when I get a job, I'll no longer be able to do what I want, you're believing that you can't be a coach. You can't be yourself. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. I think that really hit home for me. It really resonated with me. That just that last sentence that you said.
Yeah. So if you were to go to an employer without this belief, without this contractive difficult bratty energy where you lose sight of your coaching capabilities. If all of that, if you just get to be exactly who you are and that belief can't occur to you, who would you be without that thought? How would you show up?
I would show up like myself. I would be really helpful, really productive. I'd be very efficient. I'd be a team player. If my coworkers are, you know, having a difficult time, I can assist them with that if it's of a personal nature.
Yep.
I could also help in terms of performance, you know, coach people to be better employees as well. You know, and just overall make an impact at work, a positive impact.
Yeah. So we don't have a lot of time remaining, but I do want to try and turn this around. Just to kind of give you an alternate view of the situation and the belief. So do you have a turnaround for when I get a job, I'll no longer be able to do what I want?
When I get a job, I will be able to do what I want in two places. Can I say that? I don't know.
Sure. So how, give me some evidence for that.
I will be able to, you know, be a life coach in the strictest sense, part-time, like on a weekend. And the second place will be at my job.
Yeah. Anything else for evidence for that?
But I don't think it follows our rules, though. But I'm thinking that I would
be... Break the rules.
The statement that came to mind was I would be my truest self.
Yeah.
Like, I can get to be me 100% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Any other evidence that when I get a job, you'll be able to do what you want in two places? Is that, you know, because you get to be your truest self? What else?
No, I can't think of any. Can you think of?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that you are who you are no matter what. And when you start believing that you actually have to even be yourself in two places, it continues this dichotomy, this false dichotomy. It's like you are who you are no matter what. And so you get to be yourself not just in two places, but 100 places. Because everywhere you go, you bring what you've learned in this program with you. And the moment you lose sight of that, you lose sight of who you are. It's like you are who you are. You cannot unlearn what you know now. We cannot put this genie back inside of a bottle. And the moment you hold this belief that I'll no longer be able to do what I want, you stop being yourself. And so you show up into interviews as somebody else. You show up because you're separating yourself. You're creating a false dichotomy. And really what we're saying, what I'm saying, is you're going to be yourself everywhere. And when you lose sight of that, you lose sight of who you've become. Really, all of the things you've spent time on learning. Does that make sense, Jonna?
It does, yeah.
So...
And I think now that I'm thinking about it, I've been doing this for as long as I know myself.
Yep.
Like, yeah, exactly as you described it. So, yeah, thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, well, it's easy because... This is not, and I'm going to get a little preachy right now. I am a pastor or a reverend, so I'm going to do it. But it's very easy to lose sight of the fact that this is not a failure. This is simply feedback. And what I'm hearing the feedback for you is, and this might be true for everybody, is that sometimes things just take a little bit longer than we expect, and sometimes they come in a slightly different form than we expected, which is why in this training we always go back to the feeling state. That will not lead you wrong. And so much like, and Hope and Sarah have both left a call, but much as it was with Hope, it's very easy to get attached to that, the, you know, what. What does it look like? My coaching practice must look this way in order for me to make an impact. And so the moment you deviate from that, and by the way, you haven't gotten a job yet, so we haven't even deviated that far, because the truth is you're still the same person as you were 5 seconds ago. Right? The moment we start deviating from that, we look at that as failure rather than just feedback. Like, maybe there's just something that I need to shift here. Maybe I got too attached to outcome and what it needed to look like in order to be successful. Maybe this opportunity is really bringing you a chance to see where you became very, very attached to a vision and lost sight of the feeling, which is that brattiness, why I wanted you to tap into it. So I say this to all of you, and I think this is such a great opportunity to do so, is it's very easy to take this as failure instead of feedback. So, you know, I want to kind of wrap up the session and give feedback to Adrian and kind of see how you're doing. But I also want to share a little bit of my personal story. And you guys, if you need to jump off, that's no problem. But so before I get into my personal story to kind of illustrate what we're talking about here, I just want to check in with you, Joanna. How are you doing? How was that for you? Stopping all my preaching.
It was good. It was good. I do feel a little better. I'm not feeling as down as I was when I first came on the call.
Yep.
And I think the anxiousness I was feeling before, the one word that I would use to describe me leaving the session is hopeful.
I knew it. Yes. I could hear it coming. So good. Good. And we'll talk more about that, because that's what I want to talk about after I wrap up feedback here. So good. So, Adrian, how is that for you? I apologize. I kind of came in strong there at the end, but hopefully that was illustrative of how to kind of do the session. But how was that for you otherwise?
It was good. I actually really appreciated your feedback and the way you came in. You have a really good approach. And I was struggling with kind of getting into what you did there at the end with how she's bringing the baggage into the situation and how she would be as a person. That was just really good, and I don't know that I even missed it. I saw it, but I think I was afraid to go there. I don't know.
I suspect that you felt like it might be too easy. Like, oh, gosh, you just served that right up. That's too easy. I should probably keep really working for this. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not.
Yeah, here's the beauty of coaching is you can grab a thought and go. You can grab something and start working with it. As long as you are listening to your client and listening for feedback, because if you're listening, then it means that, oh, that one didn't work. Let's move in a slightly different direction. My main feedback for you is let it be easy. You don't have to work so hard. And when you let yourself let it be easy and not feel like you have to work so hard for it, like, I really gotta find the belief or the thought or the source, you are going to breathe so much easier and sleep so much better, because it is sometimes just that easy. And I'm not saying we conquered all of Joanna's problems on this call and that everything is perfect and she will. But that fact that she made that slight shift to hopeful means that, yeah, there's still more work to do and more support we can provide our client, but at least we've turned in the right direction to begin to see how her belief systems are dragging her into a place of dissatisfaction. Mm-hmm. So that's the only feedback I'd give you. I think, you know, just let it be easy. Mm-hmm. If only that.
Yeah, you're right. I'm always kind of looking for the answer that's – I'm looking for an answer. There isn't an answer, and I think that's where I get stuck. It's like
there
are many, I think that's part of being a helper, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to help on the thing. I have to find it.
Uh-huh.
That's the implication there is that there is one thing, and there isn't, because our minds, this is sort of the beauty of this work, is we are able to hold multiple dichotomies and paradoxes as truths at once. And so that means that there's probably a lot of, you know, a lot of good we can do if we let it be easy. You know, there's a lot of limiting beliefs we hold at once. Some of them are in direct contradiction with each other. But that's the complexity of the mind. That means our solutions can also be that easy as well. Does that make sense? I'm very, like, abstract today.
No, it absolutely makes sense. I'm following you.
Cool. So.
Yes, it does.
Good. So great job, I think, just, you know, being on to yourself, recognizing. Great job asking for help. I think that's fantastic. And I would actually say that for you, Joanna, that's part of the lesson that I would also say for you is, you know, starting a business and being an entrepreneur is hard work. And you have a lot of people on this team who want to see all of you be successful. And if you're struggling or if you're in this place of sort of like, oh, you know, think – pardon again, my French, shit just got real for you, which is where you're in this position, this decision point, it's okay to reach out to some of your instructors. You know, reach out to me, no problem. In fact, I'll reach out to you privately offline. But sometimes the message is a simple one, which is it's okay to ask for help and say, hey, guys, I'm really feeling crappy about this decision. Can somebody help me sort it out? So I love that you volunteered to be coached today. So does that make sense? Is that fair to say? It's, I mean, you might have already asked for help, so I don't know if I'm being fair, but.
Yes, it is. It's very fair. And thank you, Adriana. Thank you so much for coaching me. And I know I was a bit of a brat.
No, you're amazing.
I guess.
Great.
But I want to reiterate what was just said to you, because I did get that feeling while you were coaching that you were looking for something else. And there will be times when your client just serves it up. You know, it really is something that they have been thinking about for a while, so they just hand it to you on a silver platter. So... yeah, just don't overthink it at all. You really did a good job. Just don't doubt yourself at all.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for giving that feedback. So awesome. So I want to share a little bit about my personal story. Those of you that need to run, go ahead. But I kind of want to do a little I want to share because I know that this is such a tender time, especially as coach training is wrapping up. So if you have to drop off, no worries. Is it okay if I share a little bit more with you, Joanna, about my own story so that you can kind of see the light at the end of
the
tunnel?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
That will be
so good. So when I started coaching, I worked as a product manager at a technology company, and I took that job after leaving another job at another technology company, basically under duress. I was essentially having a nervous breakdown. And so I quit. And in that interim time, I found Martha's work and I started reading. I actually started by reading Expecting Adam and then found some of her coaching books. And I was like, oh, I want to be a life coach. And then I promptly ignored that and I went and took this other job. And I was in training while I was at this other job. Well, eventually I decided I went back to Martha's Work and I started doing it again. And when I left, I quit my job. I'm not telling the story very well, and I apologize, but I quit my job after my meet and greet. I loved the training so much. I was so excited about it. And I was like, I know what I want to be. I want to be a life coach. And I had this vision of what kind of coaching practice I was going to have. And it was very much that, you know, put a shingle out, be a full-time coach, be a full-time coaching practitioner. Like, that was it. That was what I was going to do. And so I ended up quitting my job just so that I could really focus on coaching and being the best coach I possibly could. And it was really interesting because after I went through Master Coach training, I found I really didn't enjoy coaching one-on-one as much as I thought I would. And I'm not saying this is true for you. I just kind of want to share how things shift. But what I did notice is that I didn't want to do marketing anymore. I didn't want to do social media. I didn't want to do product management. I didn't want to do any of that. And I felt like it would be a failure if I had to go back and get a job and do those things. And so I had this limiting belief like, oh, I can't do that. That's not what I want to do. But what happened was I started noticing that I didn't really want to have a traditional coaching practice, mostly because it was I was still evolving and still figuring out what I wanted to do. But what I ended up happening is the coaching that I did do when I was doing traditional was all about, guess what? Building businesses, marketing, social media, like all of these things, because I found myself in a group of people who didn't know how to do those things. And so the very thing I thought I would never do again, marketing, social media, product management, I started doing. People were paying me for it. And then I found out when I wasn't carrying around this baggage about what I thought my job should be or what I was like, I found out people actually wanted to hire me to actually do the marketing for them, not just coach them around marketing, but do it. And I ended up getting a job. Well, I ended up getting a full-time job for Martha. I don't think that everybody needs to work for Martha Beck. What I found in this process is there are so many people like, there's so many non-traditional businesses that appreciate having coaches on staff, even if you're doing marketing, because the coaching and my training informs everything I do in the business that I do. I'm a professional marketer. So I only share that, and I don't even know. Like I said, I'm very abstract today, so I'm not doing well with concrete stories. But I only share that because what I realized ultimately is very much what I shared earlier, is the outcome, what I thought I was going to be and how I thought I was going to show up was not how it went down at all. And it was even better than I could have imagined. I feel like I could actually go back and be a full-time coach and be a more traditional coach now that I've kind of healed my marketing wounds from my traditional job through the work I do at with Martha, because now I actually don't have a limiting belief around the work I do and the impact I have. So my life is a little bit more circuitous than yours might be, but I want to share that it just doesn't come in the form that I thought it was going to come. Does that make sense? Is that helping at all? Maybe not.
Yeah, it does. It does, yeah.
And I would never in a million years have thought, and I'm really not exaggerating, a million years, have thought that I would be doing marketing and be working full-time in a marketing capacity. Because I thought that
is interesting.
That I wasn't a coach, right? Yeah, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, that's fine. I was just saying that it's interesting. It's interesting that now you are, you know, very comfortable with it.
Well, it made me realize that I was living in a false dichotomy. I could do this or I could do that. I could do marketing or I could do coaching. Or I could be a coach that offers marketing and strategy coaching. And it's like, really, trying to explain what I do to people is hilariously funny because nobody gets it. But they don't need to get it as long as I get it. Because I am a coach through and through. I bring that with me everywhere I go. And it changes and informs how I do my job now. And it doesn't mean that I've taken a job and that somehow I'm a sellout or that I failed as a coach. It just means that I'm even better at helping people in the world because I bring that coach with me wherever I go. The coach is me, by the way.
Okay. Yeah.
So, anyway, mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that I have had my own twists and turns and things looking differently than I thought they would. But in the end, it's really how do I want to feel in my life? And that's what guides and dictates my life. So, okay, I'll stop preaching. Any questions? Anybody have any comments about my long circuitous story there?
It was helpful. Right.
Oh, good. I'll tell
you
that.
Yes, it was beautifully said. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. I've been on vacation for a week, so talking to people is not. I'm like, all right, I have to talk at work. So if you guys have any issues or have any concerns or if you want to talk more about some of your own struggles, just reach out. Let me know. It's jstewart@marthabeck.com. Joanna, I'm going to reach out to you separately because I want to offer you a couple of little nuggets and tidbits that might help you. Very practically, very
Thank
pragmatic
you.
Ones. And if they're useful for other people, we can share them with other people, but for now, I'll just focus on you. And again, if any of you guys are also struggling, just reach out. I'll do what I can. And if you think it's better as a forum post where everybody will benefit, please also feel free and you can call me out by name and say, Jessica, I'm posting. I have a question for you. So, all right. Well, thank you. I've gone way over. I appreciate you guys hanging out. Any final thoughts, questions, comments, jokes?
Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This has been an amazing journey, and I hope we get a chance to talk again. I don't know. I haven't looked at my schedule if we'll be together again. Otherwise, I hope we can, you know, continue to stay in touch after. And, Joanna, please, you know, I can't speak for Adrian, but you guys might want to continue your conversation offline and, you know, keep kind of digging into this a little bit so you can get supported while you're kind of thinking about your transition.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thanks. All right. Hang in there, everybody. It's been a pleasure, and I will hopefully talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.